Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's conference call on this Thursday, 28th January 2016. This is Peyman Mutahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this program. I conduct these conference calls on every week on a regular basis to educate the average American about the law and your rights and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. If you go to our website at livefreenow.org, you will find a lot of good, useful information there. And if you get on our email list by going to our website, you're going to receive free education, 1 year of free freedom law education, folks. That's right. And it's going to be emailing to you once a month things that are otherwise not available to you. They're not on internet, and they're paid for. So, folks, go to our website at livefreenow.org and check out the information education for yourself. Freedom Law School was founded to help the average, ordinary American like you to learn about the U.S. Constitution, the law, your rights, and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. I mean, the way it happened for me is I came from Iran in 1977 at the age of 14, and I thought and believed that I came from the land to the land of the free and home of the brave. That's what I thought I came to, but I found myself, surprisingly, in the land of the meek and home of the indentured. I found that America is not a government, a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. Found to my surprise that in America, every dollar that is created is counterfeited by fraud by the banks, especially the big banks like Chase, Bank of America, Citi, Wells Fargo. They literally make money out of thin air by fraud, by a process called the fractional reserve banking. And they lend it to the people, to the government, corporations, all the same. So folks, we have a problem, because that's how they have bought off our politicians and our media. And with that, folks, if the politicians are controlled by the big bankers, they have the money and control media, what chance do we have? So the chance that we have is by us educating each other. That's why Freedom Law School plays the key role in this game of educating and informing you as to what's going on. So you found a very unique source at Freedom Law School. Very unique one that you will not come across on the internet. Now, one of my favorite subjects also is income tax. I believe that there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay income tax. It's a complete fraud. But the average American doesn't know that. And again, education is a big part of that. Tonight, I will be after answering your question about the subject of the third $100,000 income tax reward that Freedom Law School has had since 1999. $100,000 for anybody that can show me how the 16th Amendment or modification of the U.S. Constitution, the so-called Income Tax Amendment, was properly ratified and added to the U.S. Constitution. So, folks, I'm going to answer that question for you in detail. I'll be doing regular classes on these conference calls on different subjects, educating you by various issues, and that's going to be the subject for tonight. But, as always, I will be answering some of your private individualized questions. If you could not make it to these conference calls, you want to get your question answered, go ahead and send us your question by mail, fax, or email. You can go to our website at livefreenow.org. Email your question, make it detailed, don't make it too short, but don't make it way too long, pages long either. Okay, because an email question, I cannot go back and forth. You can send your question to us, and I will address it on the conference call. You can listen to it later on these broadcasts. So, folks, we are a very unique source at Freedom Law School of educating you. I've put together many courses over the years, in mid-1990s forward, to assist you in understanding your rights and what you need to do, what procedures and steps you need to take to live free now. That is our website, is livefreenow.org. And many of our past conference calls are on YouTube. Check them out. Many of your common questions in the past have been answered in previous conference calls. Go ahead and check out our YouTube channel at Freedom Law School and become a fan of Freedom Law School on Facebook and get further information. Freedom Law School also will provide the response to help you beat these crooks in government, beat the IRS. I got programs that include that as well. So assistance is available, help is available, education, it's all there for you, up to you, where you want to start and where you want to go. If you are committed to living a free life, you found yourself at the right spot with Freedom Law School. These conference calls, folks, sometimes take very short time, less than half hour. At other times, they may take hours to finish. They're all different. Different questions, different length of time. So I suggest you check out our various conference calls that you may find interesting. And so let's now go to your questions. Right now, we have a caller from area code 920. Call from area code 920. If you have a question, please go ahead and give me your first name first. Okay, the call from area code 920 doesn't have a question. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the subject of the conference call tonight, which is on the 16th Amendment. If you go to our Freedom Law School website and under education materials on the top left of our page, top center, the income tax reward will come up. You will see that Freedom Law School has three separate $100,000 rewards, income tax rewards. And $100,000 will be given to the first person who can prove the propositions listed below. The third one is, I will give $100,000 to anybody who can prove that the 16th Amendment of the United States Constitution, which according to the IRS and modern American courts, permitted the income tax to exist, was lawfully added to the U.S. Constitution. Look, that's what the courts say. The 16th Amendment is the foundation, the constitutional basis for the income tax. Well, I say the IRS and the courts are wrong. I say they're lying to the American people. Okay? And I rely oftentimes, folks, not just on my own research. I also rely on the research of other wonderful, intelligent, freedom-loving, patriotic legal researchers who have taken the time to document many of these issues. One of them is Mr. Bill Benson, who on the 16th Amendment has really done the definitive work. If you go to his website, thelawthatneverwas.com, I'm going to talk about this subject for you in a little bit more detail for you. So go to thelawthatneverwas.com and you're going to get to the website of Mr. Bill Benson. Now, when you go there, you'll see up on the part that says discovery. Go down to the discovery part. Okay. It talks about the 16th Amendment. Okay. Now, language of the 16th Amendment, of course, is right there, by the way. On the, you see that near the top of the page. The language of the 16th Amendment is The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on income from whatever source derived, without apportionment among the several states, and without regard to any census or enumeration. This was a proposal by the Congress of the United States, who proposed it to the States of the Union that existed at the time of the proposal of this amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And supposedly, what was the actually the Constitution says that if 3/4 of the states ratify a constitutional amendment, the Constitution is hereby amended or changed. So at that time, there were 48 states within the American Union. Alaska and Hawaii were not states yet at that time. So if you had 48 states in a union, well, the 38 states were required to ratify the U.S. The 16th Amendment. So if you look at, 34 was required. And if you look at that, though, these states, many of them did not ratify the 16th Amendment. They just didn't. They didn't do it in many ways how they didn't do it. Some of the more extreme cases are, you see on the first page, is California. The legislature of California never recorded any votes on the proposal to adopt the amendment. I mean, they never even voted on it. Yet, the Secretary of State, Philander Knox, in 1913, declared that 38 states had ratified the 16th Amendment, including California. Kentucky is another state with a very, very obvious problem. The Kentucky Senate had voted on the resolution, but actually rejected the proposed 16th Amendment. The vote was 9 in favor and 22 opposed. More than double the number of the senators who have agreed to it had opposed it. Yet it was illegally declared to have been ratified by the Kentucky state. Minnesota. The Minnesota Secretary of State said nothing to the Secretary of State of the United States in Washington. So how could the federal government claim that Minnesota has ratified the 16th Amendment when they sent no such document whatsoever to the federal government? In Oklahoma, the Senate amended or changed the language of the 16th Amendment to have a precisely opposite meaning. Well, you change it to be something completely different, obviously it didn't pass what was originally intended. These are just four of them. But if you go down a little bit further, right on the right-hand side of Mr. Bill Benson's picture that you see there's a hyperlink to the defect and ratification of the 16th Amendment. You can click on that. On the next page, you're going to see a more detailed listing of this issue. Now, folks, this is all notwithstanding a fact that the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case called Bushaber versus Union Pacific Railroad Company in 1916, declared, quote, that the 16th Amendment created no new power of taxation. And furthermore, it said, quote, that the 16th Amendment did not change the constitutional limitations which forbid any direct taxation of individuals. Well, the 16th Amendment is certainly a direct tax on each individual based upon their income. How the heck they tax people, yet they claim that's not a direct tax, because the 16th Amendment did not change anything. You'll see now what happened here. The reason we know all this is because Mr. Bill Benson went through the archives of the state that existed, the 48 states, in 1913 at the time, and got a certified copy, two certified copies of the archives of each of the states about the 16th Amendment. Yes, he did. And this was something that other wonderful patriot Americans funded and supported him doing. And his results were published in the book That the Law That Never Was. And you'll see that the problems were numerous. There were many categories of problems. Okay. First, the first problem you see, there's 10 of them listed there. The first problem is many states did not ratify the 16th Amendment at all. I mean, that we know. But more than that, the other nine are the more specific thing. The second one is that many states actually did not ratify the 16th Amendment through the legislature, but it was falsely reported by federal government that they had ratified the 16th Amendment. There, many states had missing or incomplete evidence of ratification of the 16th Amendment, but again, falsely reported as that I mean ratified. Then, the governor of many states, or the other official which was required to sign by the Constitution, the proposed amendment to the Constitution, did not sign it. Folks, that's a big deal. If you have a law passed by two houses of legislation that the governor doesn't sign, that's not a law. In a federal government, if the both houses pass a bill, you know, and if now some states have that, if the governor doesn't sign it, after so many days it automatically becomes a law. If he doesn't veto it, it becomes a law. But that was not the case in those states. It was required by those state constitutions that the governor must sign any such amendment or proposal or law. Then you have other violations of state constitutions in the ratification process. There are some other requirements which were supposed to be had by the state's own constitution which were violated. Then you have also other violations of their own state law procedure that they had violated. Then on top of that, you had problems with wording. The wording was changed, spelling, capitalization, punctuation. You might say these are not big deals, but they are. Because the exact thing that was the wording that was proposed by Congress of the United States is the only thing that the states were allowed to vote on to ratify or reject. Any little detail would make a different thing that the states ratified. And you had many of these problems there. If you look at that chart below, you see many states have many of these problems in the ratification process. Many of them. So folks, there is no 16th Amendment in reality. So the claim of the IRS and the courts that income tax is allowed to exist because of the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is false. Therefore, no American is required to file and pay income tax according to the Constitution and the claims of the federal officials. Why are we paying income tax? Because the courts are also corrupt, just like the other branches of the government. They don't want to talk about these issues. They don't want to face up to the fact that they have been ripping off the American people in for decades illegally, folks, for a long time. And the judiciary has also been a big part of this problem. That's why the judiciary is a big part of the problem also. So we got to wake up the American people to this fraud and say, why are we paying income tax? There is no law requiring us to do that. You know, and you might say, well, what happened in the courts? Well, the courts don't want to look at it. For example, in a case called U.S. versus Stahl in 1986, this was a case in the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeal that oversees all the federal courts in the West Coast. The biggest of the federal courts of appeal circuits, there's 12 of them. The biggest one in the West Coast is Ninth Circuit. In case of U.S. versus Stahl, S-T-A-H-L, the citation for that is 792, Fed Second, 1438. You can bring it up on your computer screen, go type in 792 space F2D space 1438. And the case will come up. I'm going to do that with you right now as we speak. You can find legal cases on the library, on the internet, very easily. Okay? I did that myself. And let's see, I think the second one that comes up is that case, United States versus Stahl. Sure enough, yeah, there it is. You can read the whole court case for yourself. The relevant part of it, however, is this. The court said, quote, Stahl's claim that ratification of the 16th Amendment was fraudulently certified constitutes a political question because we could not undertake independent resolution of this issue without expressing lack of respect due coordinated branches of government. What does that mean? Let me break it down for you folks to a more understandable way. First, they say that the issue of ratification of the Sixth Amendment is really not a legal question. But it is a legal question. They say it's a political question. That's not a political question. A political question is, you know, power. But who voted how many is a legal question. The courts count these things. The court often look at was this law properly ratified or not. This is something the courts routinely do. But here, the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeal ducked the question of ratification of the 16th Amendment by out of thin air declaring that it's a political question, not a legal question. And of course, they explain why it's a political question. They say they could not undertake independent resolution of this issue, which is what they're supposed to do. The courts are supposed to look at if the laws are properly ratified. And of course, the constitutional amendments must be checked if they're done right. Right? Otherwise, they can change it. We'll be wrongfully. But they could not do such a resolution and investigation without expressing lack of respect due coordinate branches of government, which means, hey, we don't want to embarrass the other branch of government. We don't want to embarrass the legislature and the executive branch that they're being ripped off and jailing the American people illegally because there is no Sixth Amendment. You know, without that, they did the wrong right all these decades. So that's how the courts play the game. Of course, people don't know about these things because they're only court cases, the average person. But at the end, folks, this is the reality. And what can you do about it? Well, Figure Boss has a host of answers for you, folks. I educate you about these things and I help you write to your congressmen and senators and demand that they answer you because that's our job, that's our duty. We must insist that these public servants adhere, follow their oath to support and defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. We must do so. So write to them about these issues. Okay, Freedom Law Center has a program that does this. Our Beginner's Freedom Package and Simple and Rural Freedom Package all include that. Not just education, but also writing to Congress managers and giving them this information. Former IRS Special Agent Joe Bannister wrote about all this in his book called Investigating the Federal Income Tax in 1999. Philip Law School printed and distributed the book for Mr. Bannister. So each of us should do that, because that's the only way they're going to hear about this, these public servants of us, and realize what's going on and do something and get rid of this fraud that's been imposed on the American people. On top of that, folks, if these guys cannot refute you, show you wrong, why should you pay the income tax? If they show you that you're wrong, Mr. Bill Benson is wrong about all this, Joe Bannister, we're all wrong, go and do what the government says, file paying income tax. But if they cannot show it to you, why should you pay these people and criminals? I mean, the government's supposed to be by, of, and for we the people. Okay, but think about this, folks. On June 2nd, okay, White House economic senior advisor of the Clinton White House, he told Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation, who was putting this debate together between Joe Bannister, former special agent whistleblower, exposing income tax fraud. Okay, this was all in the year 2000. He was trying to get the White House to come and debate Joe Bannister on his issues publicly. And on behalf of the White House, Mr. Furman said, quote, "The legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House, and we will not participate in any conference on the subject." Wow. What an admission. The legality of income tax is not a high priority item. They don't care if the income tax is illegal or not. Wait a minute. I thought I was taught in high school civics classes that the government's supposed to enforce the law by themselves, following the law. Otherwise, what do we have? We have an outlaw criminal government. Who doesn't care about breaking laws? Criminals. Who doesn't care if they're taking people's money, if it's legal or not? Criminals. Thieves. So we have a criminal government there in the White House, folks, for a lot longer than they realize. And guess what? And then Mr. Furman says that the White House will not participate in any conference on the subject because they were invited to a conference to debate it. Well, of course, they don't want to debate it publicly, in the conference. They don't want to publicize their own thievery, their own criminality. Why would they want to do that? Do any thief or criminal who wants to debate the fact that they're robbing people, illegally stealing from people? Of course not. So I recommend that every one of you write your conscience answers. Send this. This is all part of the U.S. Cassidy Adams We the People Foundation. Okay, and Friday, July 7th, 2000. Okay, so I suggest that you all get this and send it out to Congress managers. Demand they take action. Tell them, look, I want to know the safe answer. If they show the law, pay the tax. If they don't, don't. So, folks, that's the end of the subject for tonight's call. I'm going to open up the call one more time to see if anybody else has any further questions. If you do have a question, go ahead and ask it. Otherwise, I'll turn it, say goodnight to you all and come back to you again next week to have another conference call with you. There's a call from Erica 9. Do you have any questions?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
David.
David, very good, my friend. Thanks for calling Freedom Law School. How did you hear about Freedom Law School, David?
Well, I've been on the calls here and there throughout the past year, and I originally heard about Freedom Law School through Global Prosperity.
Well, that was way back then, about year 2001, 2002.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, very good, David. What took you so long to get back with us?
Excuse me?
What took you so long to get back with Freedom Law School after 15 years?
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, I said, what took you so long to get back with Freedom Law School? That's all, that's what I said.
Oh, well, my question that I have is, on a bonus that you receive from an employer, can we legally withhold federal or state taxes from it, a bonus or a gift?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is your question about the bonus?
My question is on a bonus from an employer. Can they legally withhold federal and state taxes on a like a bonus or a gift?
A bonus or a gift are two different things.
Okay, well, it'd be a
in
bonus.
My opinion, they're not supposed to withhold from your regular wages and salary either, but they do it, unfortunately. Did that answer your question?
So, can they or can't they legally do it, withhold?
They're not supposed to do it, but they're breaking the law and do it anyways. And their own and the government pays, government by courts also allow them to do it. Yes, they do it, and they get away with it. Because the courts also help them break the law.
Yeah, because I thought it was kind of odd, because they forced me to fill out a W-2 form, and I filled it out the way you advised me to do it. I wrote my name under duress, and I write exempt on it, so there is no federal state withholding. So I thought it was odd when they gave a bonus that there was a federal and state withholding.
So they did not withhold from your regular pay, but they withhold from the bonus?
Yeah, with my regular pay, they don't hold it, but on the bonus, they did.
Well, contact them, but I know that, look, they got to be consistent. If they, don't withhold from your regular pay, they should not withhold from your bonus either. Contact your company and straighten them out.
Okay. I guess that answers my question.
Okay. Very good,
thank
David.
You.
Hope that helps, my friend. Anything else you want to ask me? Okay. Very good, my friend. Thank you for listening to Freedom Law School Commerce Call, and I'll be back with you again next week. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.